This is Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Can't you hear those bells? Can't you hear those bells? Can't you hear those bells? Christmas time's a coming. Christmas time's a coming. Christmas time's a coming. And I know humming, 'cause Christmas times are coming. Can't you hear those bells ringing, ringing? Joy, joy, hear them singing. When it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home. 'Cause Christmas times are coming, Christmas times are coming, Christmas times are coming. Running, 'cause Christmas times are coming. Can't you hear those bells ringing, ringing? Joy, joy, hear them singing. When it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home. Back home when Christmas times are coming. Can't you hear those bells ringing, ringing? Joy, joy, hear them singing. When it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home. 'Cause Christmas times are coming, Christmas times are coming, Christmas times are coming. I know I'm going home. Christmas times are coming. Christmas times are coming, and Lord, I'm going home.
You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and I'm your host, Gary Holt. We have a great pre-Christmas show for you today. We're going to be joined by Linda Grajewski as she updates us on her work in sharing the gift of Christmas at the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota. And then our friends from Horse Trails and Camping Across America will be joining us for their Tales from the Trail segment, Christmas Style. So when we come back, we'll be talking with Linda Grajewski.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring, ting, tingling too.
Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
Outside the snow is falling and friends are calling you.
Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way.
Bells on bobtails ring, making spirits bright. Oh, what fun to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, let's go.
Along with the song of a wintry fairyland.
Susie Boggess and Michael Martin Murphy and Sleigh Bells. Great song to start with. And we're happy to have joining us today Linda Grajewski. And Linda, Merry Christmas and welcome to the show.
Merry Christmas and thanks for having me. And I love those first two selections. It's not a coincidence that it's about bells, as the latest flyer that we've made for my ministry is from Zechariah 14:20, and that day will be inscribed on the horse's bells, holy to the Lord.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, that was good planning on our part to play that song.
Yes, it was. Yes, so. It was.
Well, we want to kind of update folks. It's been a few months since you joined us on the show, and you have a ministry with the Oglala Lakota in Pine Ridge, South Dakota, on the reservation there, and you've been doing that for several years. If you would talk to us a little bit about how that ministry got started, why Pine Ridge, and what you're doing there.
Well, thank you, Gary. My ministry is Gates to Heaven, and that is a horse's gate, and you can find us on the web. We do have a website. Next year will be our fifth year to go to the reservation. I was started out there with a good friend of mine who's a veterinarian who invited me to go 4 years ago on his first Christian veterinary mission trip. And the rest, they say, is history, and God's grown it every year and every season, it seems. I go twice a year. I stay anywhere from 3 to 6 weeks at a time. This next year, we're actually planning on going 3 years, adding a third trip, because we just can't get everything done in one or two trips. And my husband works and stays home to make our living. This is an all-volunteer ministry. No one gets a salary. We do this in love and just go to serve the people. They have been very isolated, marginalized for years and abused. I found out they had the highest suicide rate in the nation among the teenagers, 150%, and their intense poverty rate, their average income, is less than $7,000 a year with around 80% unemployment. And so my heart is there for the children and the women to try to encourage and help them to change and have a better life.
Well, you know, when I first contacted you and invited you on the show, I had just seen a special on public television about the conditions at the Pine Ridge Reservation, and it was just startling to think that people in the United States, people in America, could be living in the kind of conditions that they are with the kind of numbers that you talked about, with 85% unemployment, suicide that would be 150% of what we see in the rest of the United States. It was just heartbreaking. And the Native Americans have undergone quite a few challenges over the years. And so when I learned that you were working with the Lakota people at Pine Ridge, I wanted to have you come on and talk about what you were doing. But another part, Linda, that was fascinating to me was the fact that you use your walking horses in horse camps and Bible classes for the kids. And I think that's what you had been doing, had just come back from, or were just getting ready to go when you were on the show the last time. Can you talk a little bit about what that ministry is?
Yes, we go, and along with church groups, we provide a week-long horse and Bible camp where it would be similar to what a VBS is back here, but we add a horse component also and do it as a circuit program rotation. The kids love it. I get such positive feedback and how it just makes them so happy. And I've been very amazed that over half of the children, even though the Lakota are known as the people of the horse, and there are hundreds and hundreds of horses out there on the reservations, over half of the children will tell me it's the first time to be on a horse.
Wow. Well, you're changing that.
We're changing that. And one of the things I've seen is that, you know, when we overcome fear in one area of our life, it gives us the courage and encouragement to overcome fear in other areas. And some of the children will just be terrified to get on. We do it very safely. We have a round pen. I'm there in the center always helping mount and dismount, and we have a walker with each horse. And if a child is particularly fearful, then we have side walkers also. And it is just amazing. After a day or two of that, those children are riding by themselves in that round pen. And you can just see the smiles on their faces and the courage that comes to their heart.
Well, and that's therapy that I guess helps to bring them out a little bit and also helps you to connect with them as you're going into the to the Bible studies that you do with them.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, it does. And just one of the things I try to do, in the past, the government tried to eradicate their culture and to tell them their culture was worthless. And in everything I do, I try to do it in a value way of adding value to their culture and showing them the commonalities of our faith. The Lakota faith is a very Old Testament one God faith. They believe in one Creator God. And so I try to build a relationship. When we started this 5 years ago, God clearly told me that I was to go based upon 2 Corinthians 5:18. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So my ministry is about love and reconciliation and healing.
What kind of reactions have you seen from these kids when they've been involved in the horse camp portion of that?
It is just overwhelming. But I have them fill out a evaluation at the end of camp and not put their name on it, because we want honest evaluations. We want them to tell us what they like about camp, what they don't like, what they'd like to see us change, what they want more of. And it's just amazing how many of them say how much fun it is, how much they love us, how much they want us to come back. Just dramatic, dramatic changes. And anytime I get discouraged or think, oh God, it's too hard, this fundraising and putting everything together, I just pull out those little evaluations and start reading them and know we have to go back.
Well, have you seen, is there something that with the horse camps, is there a memory, a moment that kind of stands out for you among the others that I'm sure you have?
Well, there's so many of them, but one little boy in particular, the first year, and I had my gentle old 26-year-old quarter horse at that time with me, and she, you know, just loves kids. She just, that was her thing. She loved kids, and he would not ride by himself. His friend had to ride with him, so I put him on the back, and we led him that year. The next year, he came to camp, and he rode horse by himself. At the end of that summer, his mother called me and said, Linda, you won't believe this, but another gentleman on the reservation, Percy Whiteplume, and we help Percy, we give him the horse tack donations. In fact, I just sent him a box of donations for their Bigfoot ride, said that he came and took all the children on a trail ride, a real trail ride in the Badlands, and her son rode horse by himself on a trail ride in the Badlands.
Oh, wow.
So just like I said, it's progressive. When they overcome fear in one area, they're over to overcome another and say, I can do this. You know, I can do this. I don't have to be afraid of challenges or things that are hard. I can do it.
You know, as you're sitting here talking about these kids doing this trail ride in the Badlands, you know, our listeners are all across the United States. We have a lot of folks that are listening to us in other countries. And we talk about an Indian reservation. Can you paint a picture for us of what Pine Ridge, and I know it's there are several different towns or villages that are
Yes.
part of the reservation, but can you kind of paint us a picture of what the reservation is like, what the size of it is, the number of people that are there, and what the landscape is?
Yes. I actually went to two reservations this past year, Pine Ridge and Cheyenne River. They're both in South Dakota, and I've been invited to a third, and we're going to try to, but, you know, there's only one of me.
Right.
So my main focus is on the Pine Ridge Reservation. It is the largest. It's over 100 miles across. Either way you want to look, it's over 100 miles across. And there are around 40,000 people there at the reservation. There are vast distances between the small communities. Like the town of Pine Ridge is on the very border of Nebraska, as the whole reservation is on the southern part of the state of South Dakota. It borders on Nebraska and is almost to Wyoming in that far western corner.
Wow.
So, but the distance between the town of Pine Ridge and the town of Wombly, where we're going to be next year, is over 90 miles, and they're on the same reservation.
Well, I think that I read somewhere, and I do not remember both of the states, but I think that I read something that the reservation itself was the size of two states, Rhode Island and another one of our small New England states. So it's quite an area that's covered, and I believe I also saw that there were about 44,000 people that were part of this reservation. So when we talk about unemployment running around 85%, you know, that's a nice size city that would be unemployed.
Yes, it is. And what most people don't understand, living back here in the South, where we're fairly close proximity to a number of different areas where we can have jobs, commercial areas, there, the best way I can let women know how isolated it is it's about 75 miles to the closest Walmart, just about anywhere on the reservation.
Oh, gosh. Well, I guess women especially can relate to the closest shopping location,
yes.
I guess.
Yeah.
But,
and the one from Pine Ridge, that's Chadron, Nebraska, which is not a very large city. It's not even the size of Columbia, Tennessee. It's a very small town. So the availability of jobs is very scarce there.
Well, the challenges that are faced, and I know that, of course, you work with the kids, you do the horse camps and you do the Bible camps, and that's what you do in the spring of the year, I think, normally. This past fall, you have a program where you have a ministry for abused women. And talk to us a little bit about that and why that is such a problem.
Well, actually, we do the recovery ministry. I developed a recovery program. It's a comprehensive program entitled Writing Free. And
okay.
It covers addictions, and that's not just alcohol and drugs, abuse and codependency, all of the issues that will keep us trapped. And we can't ride free while we're trapped in those lifestyles or the bondage from the past. We go into the jail at Pine Ridge on the reservation for a week. And when I say we, I myself have a master's, and I've taught at the college level. I've taught in a psychiatric hospital. I've done support group work, and I've been an alcohol and drug counselor. My doctor, I call her my doctor, she's really a physician's assistant, goes with me, and she has a tremendous story of overcoming abuse from her childhood and an addiction to food, bulimia. And we go in and share our stories of hope and strength and encouragement, and we share some tools and skills that have helped us and others. It's a comprehensive program that is very similar to AA and Celebrate Recovery, but I put a lot of medical help and support information in there as well. And we've had tremendous positive feedback from the women. They are so encouraging and begging us to take it other places. The biggest thing they're telling me is that in their estimates, probably 90% of their women need this program.
Wow.
And so we've done that at the adult facility, and then when I'm invited into churches, there are several churches where I've done this program at both reservations, and we've now been invited into the juvenile center on the reservation, and are planning on going the first part of March to go into the juvenile center and work with the teenagers.
Okay. And if you would, and I know we don't want to get into politics when we're talking about this, but talk a little bit so people have an understanding of how the governmental structure is set up, because I know that they have their tribal government, then you have the state and you have the federal, and how does all of that play into the reservation?
Well, I am certainly no expert in that, and I avoid politics if at all possible. I'm not going in there to tell them how to run anything, but certainly it's a very complicated system. And I think the biggest issue from what I'm trying to see, and it's like pulling layers off an onion and trying to figure out, is that the land is held in trust by the federal government. And the cause of this is it's been handed down to different family members. Hundreds and hundreds of people can own a section of land, so it can't be mortgaged so they can have a business or anything like that. And it's just kind of a mess right now on the reservation about what the people don't have autonomy to do exactly what they want to do. Their hands are kind of being tied by government regulations.
Well, and it's interesting. I had read an article not too long ago about the native people that with a situation where they don't actually own the property, have difficulty in getting loans to be able to develop or farm or ranch or grow their businesses because of the fact that they don't actually own the land that they're on necessarily.
That's right.
It's part of the reservation. But you have the tribal government, and I think they have a president and tribal council. Then the federal government is responsible for the college and some of the other facilities. What are those things there?
Well, they have the school, and then they have the hospital. And the schools are federally funded and regulated as well as the hospital.
Okay. And you were telling me an interesting story, Linda, about one of your trips out there. I think you were having... you had visited one of the university there. What's the name of that? The college?
Oglala Lakota College. It's in the town of Kyle,
okay,
on the northern side of the reservation, closer to Rapid City.
Right.
And, yes, I went to a graduation, and they had over 200 people graduating in various disciplines, and it was very exciting and encouraging to see that, but also how few jobs there were going to be for those graduates on the reservation itself.
And you were talking about a young lady that you encountered,
yes,
and I believe
that was
you
a
told
heartbreaker.
Me. Yeah, tell us about that.
We were leaving the college. We had come to get some supplies, and we were leaving the college, and I saw a young woman walking down the driveway, and I said, "Oh, I bet she's having to walk home." And so I told the other gals, "We're going to stop and pick her up." And we stopped, and I told her we were going to eat at the motel, Prairie Ranch, across the road, and if she'd like to have dinner with us, I'd buy it, and then we'd take her home. Come to find out, she lived over 20 miles away, and she would hitchhike to and from the school. And her husband, the father of her children, had been killed. And so she was desperately trying to get an education so that she could have a better life for her and the children.
Well, there are not a lot of folks that I know that would walk and try to thumb their way 20 miles each direction to and from school. And so education is really important for folks, and they appreciate the fact that it can help them better their lives. But again, for our listeners that are tuning in and folks that will be listening to this later after the live show, we have a situation of a community with over 40,000 people spread out over a great distance. We have unemployment that runs between 80 and 85% with a median income that runs about $6,000 a year. And we have a suicide rate that is over 150% of the national average. So we have a situation there where people are kind of locked in, not because they want to be, because that's the situation that they find themselves in, and through the course of events, they've had to struggle to try to improve. What is it that you're looking to do to help these folks, and how are people there involved?
Well, one of the things is just to be an encouragement that they, you know, a lot of times people just need a little push. Like I was saying, getting over that fear of something new. And sometimes, mm-hmm. even though what we're in is horrible and painful, we're more afraid of change. And a friend of mine on the reservation told me that there were many children on that reservation who never went anywhere else, maybe to Rapid City, but that would be at the reservation there. So one of the most important things I do is to help them not to be afraid of getting off the reservation, exploring, getting an education, just seeing where our Creator God wants them to be. He gave them certain giftings and abilities in life, and he wants them to use them. And I try to encourage that sort of thing. I also look for people on the reservation with similar goals, to try to keep kids off of alcohol and drugs, to try to encourage them for positive character building and life skills, and help them. And I have LaDonna and Harrison Nonick. I met them. They're the first friends I made over 4 years ago. And they are now having a children's Bible study, Anderson, on Saturdays and having over 20 children come to that, and they're also going into the juvenile detention center on Sunday afternoons and working with the teenagers there. So
oh, that's great.
I'm trying to send them support monthly and teaching materials and other things that would help support them in the work that they're doing. They're, when I'm not there, they are. I also sent several other boxes to people on the reservation. Percy White Plume, Marvin Goins, as they are helping with the Bigfoot Riders, which commemorates the massacre at Wounded Knee. And that's about to happen on the 22nd of this month.
22nd of December?
Yes, they'll be having a cross-country ride that follows Bigfoot's people as they came to Wounded Knee where the massacre occurred. And, I mean, it's just amazing. I tell them I admire them so much. I just cannot imagine the temperatures and the extreme conditions that they ride in sometimes. And they'll have a lot of riders, and they have a lot of kids. So I sent out long handles and gloves and long underwear and gloves and hats and horse bridles and things that they said they needed for the ride. Through my ministry, through people donating, we were able to do that.
Okay, and that's one of the things that we wanted to talk about was, you know, I know that you're involved. You have some other churches that are involved in helping with this, but what are the needs for the folks out there?
Well, as far as for the people there, the number one thing I'd like to see is somebody that really has the ability and entrepreneurship to help them develop businesses, even if they have to come into the peripheral areas of the reservation around Nebraska and bring some businesses in where the people can be employed and have jobs.
Right.
The second thing is getting involved with Gates to Heaven and helping us, because we're going to be your hands there on the ground at Pine Ridge, and hopefully we're going three times this year. We're getting our schedule set for the summer and fall, and as I already said, we're going in March to the juvenile center and work with the teenagers. I've been told that they don't have any tutoring and help to help them catch up with their schoolwork, so I'm going to be assessing that situation and seeing who I can get to come and help further that also. But we're going to go in primarily with our recovery program to help them deal with their issues of alcohol and drugs and the things that brought them there in the first place.
Okay, and so people could get involved perhaps that way, but as far as, you know, I'm back here in Music City. What are the needs that people have? I mean, you've mentioned TAC, and what about clothes and some other things? Because you talked about the long handles that you were providing, and what are those needs?
Yes, we do have that, but I ask people not to just send used clothing to the reservation. One year we were there, and there was a dump load of it. Somebody had just come and dumped a load out on the side of the road. I could not believe it. I try to get them to work through churches, in which I'd rather not say these on the air, but they can contact me personally through Gates to Heaven, and I can connect them that way. Also, I have a friend who is working to set up sponsors for children on the reservation to do that personally. I can connect them with that individual. As there's a constant need, I think she had 45 sponsors this year, and there's 200 children on the list.
Wow. And so, what are those kids needing?
Well, they need everything. I mean, just in hours, we send out coats. We send out new shoes. You know, kids are constantly growing, so what fit now 6 months from now may not fit. So there's a constant need for that. We sent them out winter things, and when I go in May, we'll be taking summer things. And I try to ask people to try, if at all possible, new or very gently used. Don't send, you know, these people have been treated like trash, and we don't want to do that anymore. We want to honor and respect them and show them that love and respect. Through Gates to Heaven, as I said, none of us get a salary. This is all volunteer, so any of your monetary donations go straight to ministry. They do not go in my pocket to support our household expenses at all or anyone else's. It goes to ministry. And as I said, I'm working directly with Lakota people there so that I know where the money is going. Also, we need the expenses. Your gift of $50 will pay for a woman to come to our recovery program or one of these teenagers now. Your gift of $100 will pay for a child to go to Horse and Bible Camp.
Right, right. Well, you know, Linda, we're at the season of the year where we all celebrate the birth of Christ. And his birth was a gift to all of us. And you're trying to share that gift with the folks in South Dakota at the reservation. And when we come back, we're going to take just a break, and we're going to listen to a song called Come Gather Around the Angel Tree. But when we come back, we want to talk more about what we can do to get involved, to help in this ministry, to reach out to these people. So we'll be right back to talk some more with Linda. Mary Kay, Come Gather Around the Angel Tree. And Linda, yeah, that's a powerful song, but that is what this season is about, and that is sharing the gift of love. So tell us, how can people get involved? How can we reach out to you? And, you know, you can share your web address or whatever contact information, and what can we do?
Well, number one, go to my website, Gates to Heaven, and that is a horse's gate, G-A-I-T-S-T-O heaven. You'll be able to email me and have all my contact information there. You'll see pictures and write-ups from previous work that we've done on the reservation. If you want to get involved, tell me how you want to get involved, and we'll start a dialogue. Financial support, as I said, is always needed. It's just a constant that I was telling God the other day, God, I can do the work. This is a financial raising this money. That's the hard thing. Send me somebody that can do that for me. But anyway, that's part of it. And I know part of it is just informing people because we just don't know. I didn't know till I started going out there. And I know most people don't know about how tremendous the needs are. And when I can't hardly say it because from the words from that song, when there's a woman or a child hoping, this fall when we were there, and everybody always told me, we never have snow before Halloween. So we go out there in September, and I usually leave around October 8th. Well, this year we had the blizzard of October 5th.
Right.
And we woke up to 20 to 30 inches of snow on the ground and literally had to dig my truck out for us to be able to leave. But a little boy came with no gloves and no coat who knows me. He comes to my horse and Bible camps. He said, Miss Linda, do you have a coat or gloves for me? And because of the generosity of God's people, I had a new coat and new gloves to put on that child's hands and back before I left.
Wow. Wow. Well, we have a young lady that's just joined us that, and we're going to open up her line. Shannon Schraffnagel is the founder of Horse Trails and Camping Across America. And Shannon, how are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, Gary. Glad to be on the show today.
Well, we're glad to have you. And I know that you and Linda have stayed in communication. And I think that there's something that you wanted to talk about that might affect what we're discussing.
Absolutely. The first time that I had actually met Linda, she was a member already of Horse Trails and Camping Across America, but I wasn't aware of that, and I heard her on your show. And I heard her talk about her ministry just like she's doing today, and definitely struck a chord in my heart, and I called in on your show that day and got to talk to her. So I knew I wanted to be a part of this in any way that I could. We've stayed in touch all through the summer, and we ended up being able to come together and try to put a fundraiser together through Horse Trails and Camping Across America. So I just announced it on our group today on Facebook that we'll be doing this event in January, probably running it. I would hope to run it for about a month, give everybody some time to get over the holiday hangover and then be able to start giving donations and whatever they feel on their heart to send to Linda and get it out there to the reservation. So, I'm just glad that we can do something like this. I think our members are going to love it just because of the story of that Linda shared about the Indians out there and about their heritage with horses. It's something that we all can relate to. It's just an amazing ministry of what she's doing. So I'm really looking forward to getting this fundraiser going for her.
Well, we're just excited that we had a small part in introducing the two of you, and I know that some great things are going to happen, with the two of you ladies coming together and all the great folks that you have on your Facebook group. And by the way, you're close to 15,000 people now.
We are. Yeah, no kidding, Linda. It has grown exponentially. We have broken every record every month. We keep growing faster and faster. And, so we're about to 15,000. We were at 7,000 in August.
We have
doubled since then.
Yeah, I think with that number of people that are enjoying what you do and what your posse and the Outriders provide to all of us who are members of that Facebook page, they certainly will have an opportunity to kind of pay it forward just a little bit with getting involved in this program. And so that was announced today on Horse Trails and Camping Across America's Facebook page.
It was. I just created the event today. So yeah, if you go and check us out on Facebook, Horse Trails and Camping Across America, and if you go under events, you will see not only will you see Equestrian Legacy Radio show today, but you will also see the event with Linda.
All right. Well, we're always happy to have a little support from your folks for the program. Linda, I know that we really were going to talk a little bit about LaDonna and Harrison, and I'd like to do that another time if it's okay, just because
yeah, totally
of
fine.
The time constraints. Mm-hmm. And LaDonna and Harrison are both members of the Lakota tribe there in Pine Ridge.
Yes, they are.
Okay. And I know that LaDonna was going to try to be on the show, but she's busy ministering to people. And so she couldn't make it today, and God bless her for that. What are your plans for Gates to Heaven for 2014?
Well, as I said, the first event we're working toward is getting out there in the first part of March and do the recovery program for the teenagers at the jail, and that will just be a week. The gals who go with me, I cannot do this on my own. I'll be 63 in January. I'm proud of that. I tell people, who would have thought 10 years ago that at a time most people are winding it down, God would be winding me up and sending me out, but he is. And but I can't do this work by myself. I need others. My favorite line, and I teach this all the time when I'm teaching, I tell everyone my favorite line is from the movie Rocky, when he is asked, "Why Adrian?" And for those of you who aren't Rocky fans, you won't have a clue what I'm talking about. But anyway, he's asked, "Why Adrian?" And Rocky replies, "I've got gaps. She's got gaps. We fill in each other's gaps."
Amen.
And that is a picture of how the body of Christ is to operate. I have gaps, and I need others to fill in my gaps. And my good friends, Allison Ralston and Mary Mobley, have committed to go with me in March. They'll take off work a week, and we'll go out there and do the teen program and then sit down with the leadership there and just see how else we can help. And, you know, like I'm hoping to bring some teachers out there who will be able to go in and help tutor and mentor these kids and get them back on track with their schoolwork so that when they finish their program there and their time at the juvenile center, that they won't feel so left out and just flounder. I've been told that many of them end up dropping out of school, and they have a higher suicide rate than the rest of the population because of all this hopelessness.
Wow.
The other thing we're planning are two horse and Bible camps. We will be having one of them in the Pine Ridge town area somewhere. We haven't exactly agreed upon a location yet. We've got a couple of leads. The other one has been approved. We're going to be going to Wanblee, which is a very small area, very isolated. In fact, it's over an hour and 50-something minutes from either Pier or Rapid City. And we're going there for the first time. I will be doing the recovery program in the jail for the women again, and also two Saturday events for women in the summer. We haven't finalized anything for the fall yet. We kind of wait and see how everything goes over the summer. But I've already been asked to come back to Cheyenne River, and I've been asked to go to Lame Deer.
All right. Well, that's great. Well, we look forward to having you come back on the show again to continue to update us on what's going on. Tell us again how people can contact you.
By going to my website, Gates to Heaven. That's a horse's gate, G-A-I-T-S-T-O, Heaven. All the contact information is on there to either call me, send an email, but you'll find it on my website. You'll see lots of pictures and write-ups about the programs we've done in the past. The horse tack is a big thing. As you can imagine, with less than $7,000 a year average income, they don't have a lot of money that's extra to buy bridles or saddles or anything. So that's one of the big things I do is take them and give them away to people and the children, and I have a list, a request list from kids now for the summer, and I've promised them that there'll be saddles for them when I get back in May. I also take veterinary meds for horses.
Okay.
Vet wrap, blue wound coat spray, wormers, that sort of things. And Shannon has all the lists that she's helping me with for this. And I privately do things for people. I try not to put it public and who I do what for, but we also privately do things for individuals that I know have specific needs there at the reservation.
Okay. All right. Well, we want to encourage people to go to your website, Gates to Heaven, G-A-I-T-S, and is that .com, .org?
.org.
.org.
It is a nonprofit. We are a 501c3, so your donations are tax deductible.
All right, so Gates to Heaven, G-A-I-T-S, gatestoheaven.org. and you can reach out there. And also, if you are on Facebook, you have a Facebook page as well, I believe.
Yes, and the one I use there is my full name, Linda Faust-Grzeski. That's where I do most of my interacting with people there.
Okay. And also, we're going to encourage people to go to Horse Trails and Camping Across America on Facebook and like that page. And you can visit Equestrian Legacy Radio on Facebook, and we'll try to keep you updated on things that are going on our Facebook page as well. So, Linda, thanks for being on the show today and sharing with us. We look forward to having you come back. You know we're doing cowboy poetry today. And you have a poem. You have a poem that you wanted to share with us as we close out this segment. So would you do that for us now?
Yes, I will, and thank you. Yes, I love my cowboys, and I love my poets. This is not a cowboy poem, though. Several years ago, the ladies in my Bible study, we were having an ornament swap, and I went to find a Christmas tree ornament that would honor Christ and had difficulty doing that, and this poem came out of that. And it's entitled, His Presence. I looked at Walmart, I looked at the mall, but the blessed Christ of Christmas was nowhere at all. Oh, there were Santas and reindeer and presents and elves, but nowhere could Christ be found on those shelves. In our quest for presents, for glamour and glitz, we've let Christmas slip to become a holiday blitz of chaos and credit, of pageants and lights. Will the real Christ of Christmas be found on that night? For the joy of this season can't be bought at the mall. If we'll seek His presence, His love, and His light, there may in this nation yet be found room for the babe in the manger to whom St. Nicholas prayed, seeking the Savior born on that day. St. Nicholas gave because Christ came for all, the wicked, the holy, the great, and the small. But it seems too simple. No glamour, no glitz. Just the true Christ of Christmas, we only need this. To put Christ back in Christmas, we all must slow down and just share His presence within our own town with family and friends and strangers we meet. Then the Christ who was born in the Bethlehem stall in this way may yet come to our mall.
This old barn is a special place to me. This old barn and a happy story. When life is more than I can bear, just like a child you will find me there. It's a cold and clear December. Stars above, the only light, shine on this spot of rough-hewn pine, turning something simple into something divine. Why did God in His glory choose to start His son's story in a stable? For the Christ child on that first Christmas day. But I think I understand why it all began in a barn. The snow lay silent on the ground. My footsteps are the only sound. The world will turn. but for now I'll keep this silent night. This old barn where I have worked and played, in hard times I have even prayed. Who knew that such a humble place is where God would send his amazing grace? Why did God in his glory choose to start his son's story in a stable with a manger of hay? He could have saved all the hassle and crafted a castle for the Christ child on that first Christmas day. But I think I understand why it all began in a barn, a place that's warm, a place that's safe, far away from the human race. Yes, I think I understand why it all began in a barn.
You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and when we come back, we're going to be visiting with our friends from Horse Trails and Camping Across America. So stay tuned, the fun is about to begin. Susie Boggess and Michael Martin Murphy, Two Step Round the Christmas Tree. And we're just about to meet the posse from Horse Trails and Camping Across America. And Shannon, You want to introduce your Outriders?
Yeah, we've got Larry Hatfield on today and Phil Randall. And many of our members know them from their poems that they've shared for the last few months. They've been pretty popular members with everybody on there. So really glad to have them on today.
Well, hey, Larry, and hey, Phil. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us on.
Good to be here.
Well, it's good to have you, and I've been looking forward to this. I've been reading some of your poetry, and you guys are really great. So we're looking forward to having you share some of that with us. But Shannon, before we do, why don't you update us a little bit about what's going on with Horse Trails and Camping Across America? We talked about how you're growing just a few minutes ago when we were talking with Linda, but where is Horse Trails and Camping Across America as far as the numbers of members, and what's going on with a website we're looking for?
Yeah, we've, as we did state before, we're growing just insanely fast, so we're just about to 15,000 members. We were just at 7,000 members back in August, so we're breaking every record every month and just bringing up new members. But it's been very exciting, and I'm definitely excited to get the website going. We are still in the negotiation process at the moment, but everything's exciting and good. It's just, as usual, with something this big, we just need to take the time to make sure it's going to get started off right. So hopefully come January, we'll be able to announce some good news and you know, be able to get the website rolling and get the production going of it. So, and then, of course, we are still working on the ride that we have planned in May down in Tennessee, in Big South Fork. And True West Campground is fully booked, but we still have places open at the surrounding campgrounds down there. So if anybody is still interested in coming, we're going to have, you know, a few hundred horse riders down there, a few hundred members. So you can always check that out under our events tab on Horse Trails and Camping Across America on Facebook and get more information on there, or they certainly can contact me as well.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. We're tickled to be hosting folks here in Tennessee for some great events that are coming up. What are the dates on that ride?
It's going to be May, I don't have my calendar right here in front of me, I believe it's May 30th, 31st, and June 1st.
Okay.
So it's the weekend after Memorial Weekend.
All right, so we're looking forward to meeting some folks. I know that we're going to be staying at True West,
yeah,
and looking forward to meeting some of the members that are coming out there for that, and then it should be a great time, so we encourage people to check out that event page, and I think you said you'd like to fill up the Big South Fork. Now, that's a big place, but you've got a lot of members. You could do it.
Yeah, I think we could. You know, we've got members coming from Texas. We've got members coming from California, so we certainly have room for more, and the nice thing about it, since it's just a three-day event, you can make it, you know, as long as you want. People can come down the weekend before or stay a week later. You know, it doesn't just have to be those 3 days. So I think it's going to get stretched out to, you know, a few more days than just three with all the members that will be there. But, yeah, definitely plenty of other campgrounds in the area that are all nearby, so we certainly can be intermingling through those 3 days. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I'm a little concerned about some of the intermingling, knowing some of the guys that you have on the show today and some that didn't make it. As a matter of fact, you know, we're just going to go ahead and do this. I was going to do this later in the program. But, you know, I expect that Ray and Carl are listening. I just have a suspicion that they might be. And so we wanted to do a special song for them. It's a song that's called That Better Be Santa Claus. It's a brand new song by Greg Sterling. And when I got this song sent to me the other day, I don't know, but for some reason I thought about Ray and Carl. So let's listen to that. And when we come back, we're going to have a little cowboy poetry going on, and I think a lot more fun. But let's listen to That Better Be Santa Claus by Greg Sterling. And this is one we're doing for Ray and for Carl.
I can't
6 days on the road. To surprise that sweet little wife of mine beneath the mistletoe. But I'm the one who got surprised when I walked through the door. She was standing in a negligee I'd never seen before. Now I'm suspicious, but it was Christmas, so I took her word. Then somewhere out by the back of the house came a voice I'd never heard. Somebody yelled somebody's name. I saw a flash of red, then I saw green and grabbed Jolene. This is what I said. That better be Santa Claus. Those better be reindeer paws. Making tracks out in the snow. I wanna hear a ho ho ho. I better find lots of toys for my little girl and boy. I wanna hear some tra-la-la. That better be Santa Claus.
Christmas to Ray and Carl. So I just had a vision of those guys, one chasing after the other, when I got this song. So anyway, we're gonna have a lot of fun. You know, we were pretty serious in the first part of the program, and Christmas is all about giving back, but it's also about having fun and enjoying family. And family is not always you know, something that you're born into. It can be people that become family through places like Horse Trails and Camping Across America, or Equestrian Legacy Radio, or in Pine Ridge. And so, anyway, we're going to have a little fun. I know that we have some tremendous poets on here. And who'd like to go first?
Larry does.
Larry, are you the brave one?
I'll jump out there. That guy running in red had to be Ray, because he's always talking about his red long john.
Gosh. Well, listen, tell us, Larry, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and, you know, we'd like to get to know you a little bit here before we get started.
Well, I'm pretty old. How much time have you got anyway?
Well, you know, I don't know. We have some folks that might not make it to the end of the show if you talk too long. So.
Well, there you go. Well, I'm from Stillwell, Oklahoma, which is in the northeastern part of Oklahoma. And I was born and raised here, but lived away from here for a while and moved back. So I've done a lot of things. Of course, I'm old enough to have done a lot of things, I guess. But I've worked for 20-something years for Mrs. Smith's Bakeries as a regional broker manager. But, you know, and, I've worked construction, I've preached, so I've done a little bit of everything.
Well, how did you get started with your cowboy poetry? Because I know that you have a lot of your poetry that you post on HTCAA. Now, how did you get started with that?
I've always made up forced verse for songs or anything. I'll sing if I don't know the words, I'll just make them up, you know. But I think after I retired and had more time on my hands, I actually started writing more. It just kind of started out this. Then I started sending it out to people, and I can't believe people like some of the dribble I write. But anyway, I'm glad that they do.
Gosh. Well, why don't you share one with us that you want to start with? You know, we're kind of in a light mood. I think I saw something that you had about coyotes, but I'm not sure if that's one you wanted to do or not.
Yeah, I'll do that one.
Just whatever you want to.
All right, let me do that one then.
All right.
It goes, I need to tell a tale about a coyote who came calling. I saw him in the pasture and wondered where he was going. He looked up toward the house, the air he was sniffing. I think he smelled my chicken. Some had come up missing. He started heading my way, and my mind went to spinning. I had to do something quick to keep him from sinning. I rushed into the house to grab my trusty rifle. I'd teach that coyote quick my chicken's not to trifle. I slipped back outside and hid behind a wall. That chicken thief a-coming was fixing to take a fall. When he got loose or close, I knew I couldn't miss. I gave him a little whistle. He knew something was amiss. He stopped real quick and started looking around. I knew my plan had worked. It was very sound. I took a dead aim and let that missile fly. I knew right then my plan was very sly. I couldn't believe my eyes when he took off in a run. I missed that coyote clean. I was really bummed. A day or so later, my son asked me about the fence, why it was broken. I didn't know what he meant. I went out to look, and sure as it could be, the top wire was cut plain for all to see. Now why I missed began to make some sense. Instead of killing a coyote, it seems I killed my fence.
Oh, gosh. That's great.
Love
That's
it.
Great.
Love
that
it,
is
love
great.
It.
True story.
True story. Even better.
Well, I think I think the best tales and songs are the ones that are true and can add some humor to it. So that is great. Phil, tell us a little bit about you and where you're from and how you got started in this cowboy poetry.
Well, I live in Custer, South Dakota, in the beautiful Black Hills here in western South Dakota.
All right,
and we're under a little snow right now, but. I got started doing poetry years ago when I was running the highways as a professional tourist or otherwise a truck driver, and just started doing, you know, writings and stuff and jotting them down, sitting in layovers or, you know, truck repair shops or whatever, you know, I'm trying to keep my nose clean and just kind of went from there. And I've always wrote, always had something going on in my mind, but I think, to be honest with you, but most of it is just life's deals. You know, every time you turn around, you run into something or you run into somebody or you see something on the street and it's an inspiration and it gets into my mind and then I just kind of jot it down and come home and write it down on paper and then put it to Facebook, if you will, on my website or on my page, I guess, and just do it that way, and it's kind of a record there for anybody to enjoy that's a friend of mine, or when I post them on the Horse and Trails deal, that, you know, a lot of people seem to like them. So.
Right. Well, it's a great way of telling a story and doing it through poems. So do you have one that's kind of light that you want to share with us?
Kind of light? I got the Christmas one that I just did the other day, and it's a... for the listeners, probably got a picture of a little boy on a horse with a handgun in his hand, and he's got Santa Claus held up out in the back road.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well,
we'll
just,
try
just...
this. Now, bear with me.
Here all right.
Go.
Sounds
titled
good.
One Christmas.
All right.
He awoke on a snow-covered night, stars out high and covered by dark light. Heard a noise and thought it best to check it out. He donned his vest. Strapped on his spurs, for then he knew was going to be a chase, hard and true. Snuck out to the barn and slipped the door. His daddy's horse could run forevermore. Cinched up the leather, he heard it's called. Daddy's always said it as he stood so tall. Old number 9 was his name, the best in the herd, the best just the same. Out through the door of that old barn, in a flash of lighting, they were gone. Snow kicking up as number 9's heels dug in, six-shooter at the ready just in case it wasn't Ken. Around the bend of that snow-covered trail, not far from the house, surrounded by split rail. There he seen them, and sliding to a stop, old 9's feet planted like a crop. He yelled, "Hold up! Who goes there?" Oh, I lost it. "Tell me who you are. By the way, you ain't driving no car." He takes in the sight of antlers and bells, a fat man's he's heard, and the stories would tell. "Ho, ho, ho," said the man with gloves high. "I missed your roof in the darkened sky." "Easy now, young man," with a secret to be said, as the boy held him there just shaking his head. He had his aim, but knew this couldn't be true. Greens, reds, yellows, and even some blue. All of a sudden, the clouds cleared away. The moon's clear light shined away. "It's him," he yelled with a stir. Santa's face glowed, for he knew the cure. "Young man," he said, "yes, it's me, and I'm here to say, it's Christmas Eve, and I need to be on my way." A smile and a grin from the boy so proud, he caught Santa and the rest of his crowd. Next thing he knew, this young man, he was being awakened by his mother's hand. "Come on now, get yourself dressed. It's Christmas morning, come join the rest." "But Mama," he said so fast. "Never mind now," she said, "that's a dream that will forever last. Merry Christmas."
Oh, that's wonderful. Great. That's great. Well, we kind of enjoy celebrating Christmas cowboy style, and, you know, the cowboy poetry is part of that cowboy lore and life, and we're going to do real quickly a song called Christmas Cowboy Style. We'll be right back with our friends.
On a winter night, a full moonlight, two horses and an open sleigh. We'll take a ride, a cowboy and his bride, and stop for friends along the way. The time is here, we've waited all year, and holiday excitement fills the air. We'll make the hillsides ring with the songs we'll sing, go gliding through the old town square. It's the cowboy way of celebrating Christmas, coming right along beside us for a while. Could there ever be a time as fine as this is? Christmas cowboy style. Yodeling in the snow, a yodeling ho, ho, ho. Christmas cowboy style. By Grandpa's fire, a family gathered round the tree, all singers in a country choir. There'll be gifts handmade, reins of rawhide braid, a saddle blanket woven red and white. It's working gear we'll use all year, and remember Christmas night. It's the cowboy way of celebrating Christmas, coming right along beside us for a while. Could there ever be a time as fine as this is? Christmas cowboy style. Yodeling in the snow, yodeling ho, ho, ho. Christmas cowboy style. Status for a while.
That's Don Edwards and Michael Martin Murphy, Christmas Cowboy Style, and we're having a great time with our friends from horse trails and camping across America. We've got Shannon, and we've got Phil and Larry, and great poets, great folks that we're sharing some Christmas joy with today. And Larry, I think that you have one that you wanted to share with us.
Yes, this is a true story again. Called Squeal Like a Girl, and it goes a little bit like this, I guess a whole lot like this. In fact, it goes just exactly like this. I'm a little sheepish to relate this story, but it's too good not to tell, about the day my retaining wall washed out and all the stones that fell. I was busy rebuilding that wall and my energy nearly spent when out from underneath those rocks came a tarantula where I was bent. That little booger gave me a fright, I guess I'll have to admit, but he disappeared amidst those rocks before I could collect my wits. I went ahead and finished my chore, and then I went inside to grab a bite of lunch in the house where I reside. In the midst of my preparations, in the corner of my eye, I saw something on my shoulder. It gave me quite a fright. It had to be the size of a saucer, the monster on my back, and I'm telling you right now, I nearly had a heart attack. I jumped around in a circle, squealing like a girl. I didn't know this old body could go in such a whirl. I was afraid to brush it off, and I was afraid not to. I really, really didn't know exactly what to do. I finally got it off and threw it way outside. No such varmints are allowed in the house where I reside.
Well, I think we'll let the girls respond to that.
Ding dong, your lady foo. Ring, ring, sing, sing, your lady foo. Bells will sing a cowgirl song for you. Ding dong, bell song, your lady foo. Jingle bells, sleigh bells, your lady foo. Church bells, school bells, your lady foo. Southern bells, dumbbells, does this apply to you? Ding dong, bell song, your lady who? Ding dong, your lady who? Ring, ring, sing, sing, your lady who? Bells ring, we'll sing a cowgirl song for you. Ding dong, bell song, your lady who?
Just how many bells are there anyway? Cowbells, plow bells,
your lady who?
Dinner bells, winter bells,
your lady who?
Play bells, hay bales,
hay bales, your lady who? Ding dong bell song, your lady who? Ding dong, your lady who? Bells ring, we'll sing a cowgirl song for you. Ding dong, bell song, your lady who? Ding dong, bell song, your lady, your lady.
Well, those are the Sisters of the Silver Sage, and that's Yodeling Bells. I don't know, guys. I felt like I was in Switzerland. And let me shout out to Esther, who is in Sweden and listens to our program every week. So we're grateful to our listeners all across the globe that are joining us. But anyway, we're having a great time talking with Shannon, Larry and Phil from Horse Trails and Camping Across America, and enjoying their great poetry today. So just a lot of fun having you guys on. So who'd like to share something with us next?
I got one here, Gary, if that's okay.
All right, Phil, that sounds good.
Okay, apparently Shannon likes this one, so I'll do it for her. Whatever happens,
all right,
to the ride.
Oh, good.
All right.
You got to keep her happy.
She's the trail boss, isn't she? Yeah.
Okay, we'll try this again. Whatever happened to the ride?
All right.
He sits in a rocking chair looking to the outside. His memories as he remembers as his tears fill his eyes. Shaking his head as a chuckle shakes his side. Whatever happened to the ride? Been a friend to many of good horses in the past. Never thought he'd see the day when that wouldn't last. Took his falls from a few in stride. Whatever happened to the ride? His saddle hangs over the age-log beam from inside his home many haven't seen. Old age with a story stretched from time to time. Whatever happened to the ride? From the east to the west and points in between, north to south, the rides were clean. Across the rivers carved by time, whatever happened to the ride? Climbed the mountains and sat and watched, seen the memories made and never checked his clock. Looking down from where the eagles still fly, whatever happened to the ride? He hears the sound of the busy road, people going somewhere, their story yet to be told. Life, he thinks, as they go swiftly by, whatever happened to the ride? For some, he knows the dream still wins. Weekends come, and their faces the wind. Sitting on leather, new or old, and side by side, whatever happened to the ride? As we age, and let's hope we end up the same, like the old man, his wife that came. Let's not take life and waste our time, or not remember whatever happened to the ride.
Wow, that's great. That's great.
Great, Phil.
Larry, didn't you have one? Didn't you have one that was called The Gift? That
Yes, I do. I've got that, and this is kind of the way I feel about it. I wish kind of go back to this, but I don't know if that's possible nowadays. But anyway, it says I dream of an old time Christmas without the hustle and bustle, the fighting of the crowds, the struggles and the tussles. People rode out on their horse, axe and rope in hand, searching for that perfect tree provided by the land. Dragging that tree home and making a wooden stand, setting it up inside with decorations as planned. Today it's all commercial, gifts, lights and trees. I'm telling you now, it's much too much for me. We seem to have lost sight of what the season is about. All this stuff just makes me want to shout. Let's get back to basics, go back to yesteryear, back when people cared about people far and near. Family is what's important, the father and the son, the gift from above for each and everyone.
Yeah, those are great. Those are great. There's a song that we want to share right now that kind of has the same thought that you expressed, Phil, in your poem. And Larry, going back to the way things were, I think maybe this all ties together. But it's a great song called Going Home for Christmas by Mary Kay. And we'll be back after this.
Old Lyle, he lived in the bunkhouse out back. He helped round the ranch with his cow dog named Jack. He'd been here for years, long as I can recall. Stayed through the summer and on through the fall. Come December when the north winds blow in the snow, we know it was time for old Lyle to go. When he'd shuffle in the kitchen, put his hat to his chest, he'd look at my daddy, make this simple request. I'll be going home for Christmas this year. I figure I've done all I can do around here. Won't you feed old Jack till I get back? 'Cause I'm going home for Christmas this year. But each spring when we'd hear the barking of Jack, we knew Lyle had returned to the bunkhouse out back. So advanced in age, he'd earn all his wage, work circles around all the hands half his age. Though it's hard to believe, as I do recall, I was sick and bedridden, come closing the fall. When on a cot in the bunkhouse with a dog he loved best, he looked at my daddy, made this final request. I'll be going home for Christmas this year. I figure I've done all I can do around here. Won't you feed old Jack? I won't be coming back. 'Cause I'm going home for Christmas. Yes, I'm going home for Christmas. Yes, I'm going home for Christmas.
Wow. Going home for Christmas. Mm-hmm. Going home for Christmas. So it's a great song and really kind of shares the feelings there. You know, we travel through this life for a short period of time and we're going home for Christmas. So tell me a little bit about Shannon. How do you celebrate Christmas at your house?
Well, Jason and I, we've been married for just about almost 10 years, and we ended up for 6 years, we lived out west, and we pretty much spent our Christmases and holidays just the two of us, so it was kind of the true western Christmas. We would always go up and go for a ride on the horses. When we lived in Idaho, we were able to go out and cut a tree down and bring it back by horseback.
Wow.
So even though we didn't have family, it was a very neat time in our lives to be able to spend time that way. And we usually had some friends that we'd go to church with on Christmas Eve and spend time with friends around that season. But now we're back in Wisconsin. We're back with family. So it's kind of the mad dash, but it's good to be around the nieces and the nephews and all the family again and get to just enjoy the family. But yeah, it's busy. We both come from families that live in the same place, so we've run from day to day back and forth to each other's homes, and so a lot different than it was out west. But yeah, both of them I cherish very much for very different reasons. But yeah, it's been a neat experience so far with our married life and where we've been.
Well, and I know that you obviously were married at about 11 years old. If you've been married for 10 years, so just a youngster in the grand scheme of things. But mm-hmm. I know that you have a poem that you wanted to share with us. You wanna do that now?
I certainly can. Yeah, I'm not the poem writer that these guys are in any sort of a way. I every once in a while I'll just get some words in my head that'll come and. Usually has to do with a certain incident or a certain event that's taken place in my life. And these came to me about 2 years ago, and it's been something kind of neat to share with people. So it's called God's Gift to a Cowboy.
All right.
As the cowboy watched the snow fall and he heard the cows coming, low as they called, he felt the sting of snow to his face and felt his horse slow his pace. He couldn't help feeling the sorrow he knew would come tomorrow, for he didn't have gifts for his little ones today. He knew they would be wanting to play with toys and games they thought would be on their way. But this year was hard and the pay hadn't come. He felt a sadness in his heart, for nothing could be done. He lost a few cows that year due to the drought, and his hay didn't grow, for rain didn't come about. A tear came to his eye and quickly froze in place, but from somewhere up above he heard a voice say, "Trust me, my son, I know your pain, I know your troubles and struggles were not in vain. Trust me once more and I will show you that the love I have is given there below you." The cowboy looked down, and underneath his feet sat a gift, wrapped in red and green under a snowdrift. He picked it up ever so light and held his breath, for he didn't know what be it might. He pulled off a tattered glove and removed the silver ribbon tied to it a dove. As he opened the gift, he saw many dollar bills inside shift. and as he counted away, to his surprise, many were on display. He fell to his knees, not knowing who to thank. Then at that moment, the voice came again. "My son, when I saw you give your last dollar to the Christmas offering yesterday, knowing you needed it more than they, I needed to reward you for your dependability, for even in your struggles, you still gave to me. So when I saw you, my son, give this, I had to repay. This small act showed a glimmer of my love, the very reason I sent my son to be born, die, and live with me above. People forget all too easily that it is my love that makes life so pleasing. There are still struggles and trials and tears, but with my love, no one shall fear. For as I have counted your cows, horses, and hay, have I not counted you far above all of they? Now go back to your home glittered in light and hug your son, daughter, and wife. Remind them why Christmas is, for it's their Father in heaven who brings them these gifts from above." With that, the voice was gone and the darkness settled in. The cowboy, stunned, sitting there on the ground below, praised his heavenly Father until he knew he had to go. He got back on his horse and made his way home, and never did he forget the day he found God in the snow.
Wow, that's beautiful. That is beautiful. You know, it's all about the season. It's not about the gifts.
Mm-hmm.
This is a song, Shannon, that was written by a missionary to the Huron Indians, and it's a little bit of a different type of song, but it's talking about the birth of the Christ child, and it's a song called "'Twas in the Moon of Wintertime." And when we come back, we're going to be talking with Larry and Phil and Shannon. And I know these guys have got some more great poems for us, but right now, "'Twas in the Moon of Wintertime."
'Twas in the moon of wintertime, when all the birds had fled, that God the Lord of all the earth sent angel choirs instead. Before their light the stars grew dim, and wondering hunters heard the hymn, "Jesus, your King is born, Jesus is born, in excelsis gloria." Within a lodge of broken bark the tender babe was found, a ragged robe of rabbit skin enwrapped his beauty round. But as the hunter praised tonight, the angel's song rang loud and high, "Jesus, your King is born, Jesus is born, in excelsis gloria."
Seconds.
The earliest moon of winter time is not so round and fair as was the ring of glory on the helpless infant there. The chiefs from far before him knelt with gifts of fox and beaver pelt. "Jesus, your King is born, Jesus is born, in excelsis gloria." Children of the forest free, the angel song is true. The holy child of earth and heaven is born today for you. Come kneel before the radiant boy who brings you beauty, peace, and joy. Jesus, your King is born. Jesus is born in excelsis gloria. In excelsis gloria.
Now, this was a song that was composed in the 1700s. And there wasn't really a way to explain to the Huron the birth of Christ in terms that they would understand. They didn't know what a camel was, nor gold or myrrh. And so they used language that could be understood by the folks at that time. But it's a beautiful song. It's a different type of Christmas song. And we're on Equestrian Legacy Radio, and we're talking with Shannon Schreffnagel, Larry Hatfield, and Phil Randall, and these folks are all joining us from horse trails and camping across America, where every month we have a segment called Tales from the Trails, and we're happy to have you guys with us. And Larry, have you got another one for us?
Sure. this one is kind of dealing with Christmas here. It says, Merry Christmas to everyone, both old friends and new. I wish God's blessings on all of you. May the day bring you joy and happiness abound. May the spirit of Christmas in each of you be found. Enjoy your family, extended and close. Remember all the good times and fun times the most. May Santa fill your house and your stockings overflow. May you have a good day, and don't trip over the bows. That's it. I'm tired of that. Don't
great.
Trip over the bows.
Don't trip over the bows. Well, don't have too much eggnog. I think that could go along with that. So, hey, Larry.
If your house is like ours, there's paper and bows everywhere.
Yep. Well, I have a house full. Usually we have a house full of nieces, and they all have children now, and so it's a wild melee when you have all of these grown children and their children now in one spot. Where how do you celebrate Christmas at your house, Larry? What does your family do?
Well, we're just pretty much traditionalist. The kids all come home, but when they're and their families, their wives, but when their kids started getting bigger, they started adopting the tradition we've always had of getting up and opening presents on Christmas morning at their house. So now we go over to their house occasionally, but usually we all have a day that we all get together here, grandchildren and everything here at our house, and just play games and that kind of thing. My oldest son and my middle son played video games when they were little. We have pictures of them when they were small. They still do that. They're 40 and 40-something years old now. We still get pictures of them sitting in front of the TV playing video games.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, I'm not sure how old you are, Larry. I expect you and I are about the same age. Do you have any memories of your childhood? You know, anything that sticks out?
Oh yeah,
about a special
I'm
Christmas?
66. I'm 66, and you know, I'm like I said, I'm kind of a traditionalist. I've got the old star that my mom and dad had on their tree when I was just little. I don't know how old that is. And
oh, that's great.
You know, so I remember getting up on you know, Christmas morning, running in there and getting my cap guns and holsters and running in and shooting them, waking Dad up, you know. I'm sure he loved that. But I remember Dad made me a holster, which I still have and my grandkids play with, for a cap gun back when I was a kid. So made a wagon for me, pull around. So some of the best gifts I got were those that was made.
Yeah. Yeah. One year I remember my brothers, I have three brothers, and, you know, we were starting our young families. We didn't have a whole lot of money to buy Christmas gifts for everybody. And so we decided that we would make gifts that year. And I decided I would make wooden checkerboards and checker sets for everybody. So I did that. And then one of the brothers made boot jacks. And so those boot jacks were great, and we kept those for a long time. And then the youngest brother was very original. He went out and found horse pies and brought them back and let them dry and delivered them as paperweights. So he was
we
creative.
The only ones that did that.
gosh,
I love it.
You know, I think I have my boot jack, but I don't know what happened to that. I don't know what happened to that horse pie paperweight. So it's gone somewhere. But
it's probably out in the pasture someplace.
You just kind of got lost in the shuffle out there. yeah. Hey, Phil, what about you?
Oh, gosh.
We got a new one on the show, too,
I
hear.
I heard that. I heard that.
That was my cell phone.
Oh, I love it. I love it. All right. Well, I thought it was something from a manger scene there for a minute.
Well,
Larry, how do you...
on my cell phone.
Gosh. Phil, how does your family celebrate Christmas?
Well, actually, my wife and I... we're actually flying out of here tomorrow out of Rapid City and headed to Michigan for the Christmas week. And between the two of us, there's six kids and a whole passel of grandkids, 13, 14 of them, I think. And we've already done all that kind of stuff, and it's already been thrown in Santa's sleigh and headed east from here already.
All right.
And when we get there, we'll do all that stuff and spend time with the family and my dad and the kids, and kind of divided up. We just kind of jump around, go from one child's house to the other and get together as much as we can for the time that we're going to be there. And that's pretty much what we do. We have some kids here that will have our Christmas tonight here with them, and they'll stay here, and we'll get the Silver Wings headed out here tomorrow morning bright and early.
All right. Well, it's a great season to remember God's gift to us, and it's a great season to count our blessings and to give back to those that don't have quite as much as we have been blessed with, and just to share time with friends and family, and I appreciate very much you guys doing that with us today. So it's been a joy to have you on. Does anybody have a poem they'd like to close with?
I got one, Gary, if we can. It's a short one. It's Christmassy.
All right.
Okay, here we go. Christmas. Snow is falling and stars trying to shine through. A week before Christmas and plenty of things to do. Shopping and food to mill over on many a list. What to get Granddad, a watch to satisfy his wrist. Firewood is plenty and chimneys full of smoke. The scent of hardwood burning and no, there's no choke. Christmas lights just fine glowing on every street corner and country road showing. Frosted window panes and a wreath on the door, waiting to be opened to family or friends on Christmas morn. The little ones scurry around and excited too, shaking a gift and guessing from who. Christmas is for the young and presents to be found. The hands of youth are in all of us and still can be found. A birthday to some, another to go, we will understand why, and we will let the little ones really know. Times are changing, and Christmas still lives on. We're all here, and we understand as one. Christmas morning, when we wish upon a star, understand why we wish in heaven far. Change the world, we all wish we could, but it's Christmas. Let's leave it as it should. Merry Christmas to you, young and old. Love is showing the season as a story is told. Merry Christmas. I'll not shun it away. Thank you, Lord, for this Christmas day. Merry Christmas to you guys.
Well, Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas, Shannon.
Phil.
Yeah, that's great. Shannon, thank you for joining us today, and Larry and Phil, and we thank Linda for joining us on our first segment. We're going to encourage people again to visit Horse Trails and Camping Across America on Facebook and like their page there. Visit Linda's website, gatestoheaven.org, and that's G-A-I-T-S, gatestoheaven.org. A lot of good that can be done for folks that need some help during this time of the year and all times of the year. And you guys are great. We've enjoyed the show. And next Tuesday on Christmas Eve will be our last show of the year, our last live show of the year, and we're going to be bringing a special Christmas music program to you. And so we invite you to join us at noon Central Standard Time on Equestrian Legacy Radio for that. We're on the air every Thursday at noon, and so we appreciate all of our listeners across the world. Like us on Facebook at Equestrian Legacy Radio and visit our website, equestrianlegacy.net. And so Merry Christmas to you all. We're going to close the program out with a song by Michael Martin Murphy and Ranger Doug called Riding Home on Christmas. And we remind you, as always, if you climb in the saddle, get ready for the ride. Thanks very much.
I'm riding home on Christmas Eve, rolling along with the tumbleweed. The winter wind blows cold and strong, still it pushes me along and sings a song,
sings a song,
homecoming song,
homecoming song
on Christmas Eve. As I ride for home, on Christmas Eve, may pay the beast on Christmas Eve, and even speak so they believe. I know I heard in a wild thing trembling tread and lonesome lows, a lonesome lows that called me home on Christmas Eve. As I ride for home on Christmas Eve, and sing the song,
sings a song,
homecoming song,
homecoming song
on Christmas Eve,
Christmas Eve,
as I ride for home,
ride for home
on Christmas Eve.